Hello, and welcome to Dining with Death, True Crime Tuesday. Most of the stories I bring to you are shocking and sad and tragic. Those stories all have some similar elements: bad men or women, violence, disturbing behavior, and often death. Once in a while, I come across a story that is particularly upsetting. Israel Keyes comes to mind, Leonard Lake and Charles Eng, a case I can't even bring myself to cover because it is one that truly scarred me, the Toolbox Killer. And although this killer is not as prolific as some, he is more evil than many. What he did, I say it all the time, we live among monsters, and this is the tale of a real-life monster. This is the story of Adam Strong. Let's get into it. March 2008. Our story today takes place in Oshawa, Ontario, Canada. This is Candace Fitzpatrick. I wish I could tell you about Candace's life. I wish I had lots of photos for you and information for you about who she was and what her interests were and about her plans for the future. But sadly, Candace got involved in a life of drugs and street work very early on in her life. And tragically, no one even reported her missing for 2 years. What we know is that in March of 2008, Candace was last seen by people who knew her. It wasn't until 2010 that her father, William Fitzpatrick, reported her missing. Candace had a very difficult battle with drug addiction, and it was usual and normal for her to leave home for weeks at a time. I don't know why, when she didn't come back at all the last time, it took so long to report her as missing, but it did. After the last time she was seen in 2008, she vanished. For over a decade, her disappearance would remain a mystery, and her family and the police and the public were left wondering what happened to Candace. August 2017. This is Rory Hache. Rory was 18 years old and had recently found out that she was pregnant. Rory struggled with drug addiction, and some say she was engaged in risky sex work to support herself. One night while Rory was with a friend, she had some sort of mental crisis. Her friend went to her own mother, and together, Rory's friend and Rory's friend's mother took Rory to the hospital. On August 29th, 2017, we know that Rory was seen in downtown Oshawa by people who knew her. 2 days later, on August 31st, Rory's family reported her missing. A missing persons report was created, and Rory's family begins the all-too-familiar process of waiting for any sighting of their loved one. They waited for a week and a half until the news came. On September 11th, 2017, they got word of a gruesome discovery. A torso had been found floating in Oshawa's harbor by a man who was fishing with his grandson. Rory's family then had to wait almost 2 months for the torso to undergo testing. When the results came back on November 10th, 2017, their worst fears were confirmed. The torso belonged to Rory. Rory's family and friends mourned their loss, and the police changed Rory's case from missing person to murdered person. They followed all the leads they were given and continued to work the case, but it was going nowhere fast. And then, on December 29th, 2017, a very strange 911 call comes into dispatch. On the phone is a plumber, and he has something quite disturbing to report.
Communications.
I'm a plumber and I'm on site for a job, and we got we're snaking a drain, and we've been pulling back. We probably pulled back about 10 pounds, 15 pounds of, like, it looks like flesh type of stuff, meat, and we don't know what it is.
Several days before this 911 call was made, a couple living in this home noticed a terrible smell coming from their drains. The couple lived in the upstairs portion of the home, and they had a downstairs neighbor. When the couple tried to speak with the downstairs neighbor, he acted as if nothing was wrong, and he couldn't smell the odor, and so the man living upstairs tried to snake the drain himself. He couldn't get the snake to go through the pipes, and despite the fact that the downstairs neighbor didn't want to call a plumber, that's exactly what the man living upstairs did. When the plumber arrived and began using a commercial snake to clear the drain pipes, he found chunks of flesh and muscle, and that's when he called the police. The police arrived at the residence within minutes and spoke to the plumbers and to the couple who had called 911. Then the police said they were going to go downstairs and speak with the resident who lived there. They asked the couple living upstairs what the man's name was. The couple replied it was this man, 45-year-old Adam Strong. The police walked here around the outside of the house and found the downstairs entrance to the basement Adam Strong occupied. They knocked on the door and he let them step inside. Before police could say much, Adam Strong dropped his head and looking down at the ground, he said, "I know the jig is up. It's a body." Adam is immediately taken into custody and placed in a squad car. As he sits in the car, he begins to talk. He looks at the arresting officer and says, "If you want the rest of her, she's in my freezer and she's pretty defleshed." Police locate this freezer here inside Adam Strong's residence. They lift this lid and as you can see, inside was a round object inside of a white plastic bag. When the bag was opened, officers found Rory Hache's head. On her neck, clearly visible, was Rory's tattoo that said, "Alive." Adam Strong is taken in and booked for indignity to a body. These photos were taken at the time of arrest. They show Adam Strong as he appeared at that time, his face, his body, and a close-up of his hands. There does not appear to be any scratches or wounds of any kind on him at the time of photographing. In Canada, the law states that the police have 24 hours to interview any arrestee before their bail hearing. After that initial hearing, the arrestee cannot be interviewed again without a court order. Adam Strong was provided with a lawyer and the questioning began.
It was all done in one evening.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Like, this was all one piece and then this was all one piece.
I couldn't. Yeah, really? Sorry, man, I don't remember.
Really?
Yeah, it wasn't important anymore. Wendy's triple?
Yeah, that's doable.
No pickles? Iced tea, no ice? Their value? Spicy chicken wraps? And a grilled chicken Caesar salad.
Okay.
Is that outrageous?
No, that's doable.
I don't know how appropriate this is, but I'd like you to pass on to her mother and her father my condolences.
As you saw there, Adam Strong is not giving them much information. After 3 hours of going back and forth, police were confident they were not going to get anything out of Adam Strong, and he was taken back to his cell. Back at Adam Strong's house, the police are going through his residence. It is an absolute pigsty. I would need a hazmat suit just to walk into a place like this. The place has never been cleaned. As you can see, it's completely cluttered with only small walkways to make your way through the junk inside. There is garbage everywhere and it's barely habitable. They find sex toys and bindings and oh my gosh, I don't even want to think about the things that were going on in this troll den. Ugh. But then police find better evidence than they get in most cases. First, they find Rory Hache's running shoes. As you can see, they're here alongside a wall inside the house in a plastic shopping bag. The shoes are spattered in blood, which just puts images in my mind of what that poor girl endured. Then in this kitchen drawer, they find this specialty knife. This knife has only one purpose. It is used for skinning animals. It seems quite odd that Adam Strong would keep these items inside his home, but look at this guy. Does he look like he has much will to live? Does he look like he cares about anything? That's often what makes these monsters so dangerous. They have allowed their lives to get to a point where they have nothing to live for. They don't care what happens to them. The knife, its sheath, and other items collected at Adam Strong's house were taken and sent for testing. Here you can see photos of clearly visible evidence on that knife. There is tissue and blood. At the laboratory, it was determined that not only was Rory Hache's DNA on the knife, the sheath, and other items found in Adam Strong's house, the DNA of a second female was present as well. After some investigation, that DNA is matched to the torso found floating in Oshawa Harbor in 2008, the torso that belonged to Candace Fitzpatrick. Police are stunned as they realize they have a serial killer in custody and he has taken at least two victims who are almost the spitting image of each other. November 2018. Adam Strong, who has now been in custody for 11 months, is placed in an interrogation room to discuss the DNA findings, and so that he can be informed, he is now facing two first-degree murder charges. The police officer gets Adam some fast food and tries to make him comfortable, and then he begins the questioning.
"Way you're getting around that I chopped her up. There's no way. Okay. And I understand that.
We were wondering if you chopped her up.
It's obvious that I did, yeah.
Yeah, and if, again, if not for, apparently the plumbing was all f***ed in that house. That aided in
my capture?
In your capture.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, I was sitting down in my basement after the plumbers left, and I was like, am I going to get out of this? I don't know. Should I leave now?
How much longer before it was?
She's definitely deceased.
Yes.
Yes.
And you clearly have said, yeah, and I disposed of her.
Yes.
Yes.
Tried to. But unfortunately, it was foiled. By inadequate plumbing.
Yeah.
And that's a freaking shame. Not for me. For me.
Yeah, for you. Yeah. You sound really selfish when you say
that. Sorry.
Adam Strong tells the police that he, quote, has all the characteristics of a serial killer. He tells the police that he likes killing animals, that he always has, and that he especially enjoys killing woodpeckers. I find it interesting that he knows the characteristics of a serial killer. That tells me he studied serial killers. That tells me that he read things and watched things and knew what things we associate with serial killers. It's fascinating and disturbing. When the police ask Adam why he left the things like Rory's shoes and the field knife in his house, he replies, quote, procrastination. I was going to get rid of it all, but the procrastination factor effed me. Yes, I think procrastination is definitely one of the flaws Adam Strong had in his life and personality. He probably thought he'd get around to cleaning his home one day too, right? Luckily for police, his procrastination ended up being the nail in his coffin. Police also tell Adam Strong in this interview that they don't believe Rory and Candace are the only two victims he has killed. To that, Adam replies, "We'll have at her. Find him." The investigator then asks Adam, is there any hope we can find anything? Meaning, is there any hope of finding evidence of more victims? To that, Adam simply bows his head and says, I can't. Adam continues to speak freely about the way he disposed of Rory's remains, but he will never tell the police how he killed her or why. He seemed to be ashamed of what he had done, and investigators later admitted that of course they wanted to know, but felt they were spared the terrible details when he refused to reveal them. There is no doubt that this is a very, very sick man. I didn't show you all of the photos of the things that were found in his house, but I just... oh, God, it gives me the ick. Adam tells the police that he had a terrible and abusive childhood and feels that his treatment in childhood played into who he became. And here we go again. As you know, this is something we talk about all the time. This is what is so fascinating. This is what I am drawn to. I have no doubt that child abuse does in fact play a large role in men and women who do terrible things in adulthood. But why doesn't child abuse turn all people into killers? What is the difference between two individuals who experience similar abuse as a child that makes one go on to live a normal life and one go on to become a monster? That is the ongoing discussion and fascination. And for me, it is one of the main elements of my true crime obsession. I am endlessly fascinated by why people do what they do. And although I never believe being abused is any kind of excuse for becoming an abuser, it's the conversation that fascinates me. I truly believe that if we are to prevent people from becoming monsters and from doing terrible things, we have to learn about them. We have to study them in order to learn how to stop them. The investigators now have hours of interrogation footage, hours of Adam Strong talking on tape. In Canadian law, a judge must rule all interrogations as admissible well before the court proceedings begin. So a judge reviews the interviews and he rules that Adam Strong has been treated respectfully, his needs have been met, and his rights have been preserved. The judge allows the interviews to be included as part of the trial evidence. March 16th, 2021. Adam Strong is convicted of the first-degree murder of Rory Hache. He is convicted of manslaughter in the death of Candace Fitzpatrick. He is given the maximum sentence allowed by Canadian law.
Rory Hache and Candace Fitzpatrick, two young women robbed of their futures by the same man.
A judge calling their killer a dangerous predator who will never be seen in public again. A warning about the disturbing details in this case. CTV's Mike Walker is live outside the courthouse in Oshawa with more. And Mike, Adam Strong has now been sentenced.
That's right, Nathan. It was another emotional day here at the Oshawa courthouse. There was cheering in the courtroom from families and friends of both victims as the judge sentenced Adam Strong to life in prison. Woo! The families and friends of Rory Hache and Candace Fitzpatrick can now close a dark chapter in their lives.
I'm happy. I'm overjoyed. I'm elated.
Bill Fitzpatrick reacting outside the courthouse after a judge sentenced 48-year-old Adam Strong to life in prison for the first-degree murder of 18-year-old Rory Hache and 18 years concurrently for the manslaughter and the death of his 19-year-old daughter, Candace Fitzpatrick.
This guy's going away. He's never going to get out. He'll never harm another girl in this world.
First-degree murder carries an automatic life sentence. It was up to Justice Joseph DeLuca to decide the sentence for manslaughter. In his sentencing, Justice DeLuca said, "The sentence I impose today can never undo the harm that Adam Strong has caused. It can never erase the horrors that the family of the victims have endured. It can never change the final moments of Ms. Hache's and Ms. Fitzpatrick's life, and it cannot bring them back. And that the sentence I impose will likely ensure he will never get out of prison."
I feel amazing.
Hache's godmother relieved to see justice finally served for both women.
"Today we let them rest. Today this monster's off our street and he's no longer a part of our day."
The court heard Rory Hache was sexually assaulted, killed and dismembered in Strong's Oshawa apartment. The pregnant teen's torso discovered in the Oshawa harbor in September 2017. Her remains discovered in Strong's apartment later that year. Fitzpatrick vanished in 2008. Her remains have never been found. But nearly a decade later, investigators found her DNA on a hunting knife in Strong's apartment after Hache's remains were found. Speaking directly to Strong, the justice said, "You are a dangerous predator. You decided to feed your selfish desires, and in doing so, you took two vulnerable lives." Strong will also be added to the sex offender registry, and just before he was led away in handcuffs, Justice DeLuca had these parting words for him. "Your moment before us is done. From here, you will go to prison. You will never be seen in public again. In time, you will be forgotten. You will neither be famous nor infamous. You will simply be gone." For the families,
"The next phase is to honor my daughter. Remember her."
The healing can now begin.
July 2021. Homicide detectives receive word that while incarcerated, Adam Strong has been revealing more information about his crimes. They bring Adam Strong into headquarters and begin conducting a series of interviews with him. At first, not much is revealed, but investigators are determined to get more information from Adam. They want to know where Candace Fitzpatrick's remains are. All they have found of her is her torso. Adam Strong is aware that the police want something from him. And like a lot of these types of scumbags, he is enjoying the attention from the police. And he is enjoying the fact that he has something they want. The police play the game and try to lead Adam Strong in the direction they want to go. For weeks, they bring him in, sit down with him and talk, you know, and then he's taken back to jail. I think a lot of these guys do this in order to get out of their cell, maybe get some food that's decent. It's a game to them. This happens several times, but finally, in November of 2021, police get authorization from a judge to remove Adam Strong from prison and take him on a road trip. Adam Strong has agreed to tell them where Candace Fitzpatrick's remains are located. Adam Strong directs police through the city of Oshawa and to a tree line behind Secreto Drive. Here you can see officers going through the brush trying to locate what they have been looking for so long.
An absolutely major announcement by Durham Regional Police today, who said they made a break in a very significant and horrific case involving two women who were murdered many years apart. They discovered the body of Candace Fitzpatrick very recently in November and identified her using forensic services. She is the woman whose body was never recovered, but was discovered because the man who was convicted of manslaughter in her case, Adam Strong, basically told police where to find the body and help them to recover the body.
Mr. Strong accompanied our investigators while he was in custody under judicial authorization and pointed to a general area where he believed he had buried the remains back in 2008. Fourth, we conducted an operation which led us to a small clearing by the tree line behind Secreto Drive in Oshawa. I can confirm today that the remains found last November are those of Candace Fitzpatrick.
Now, Adam Strong was convicted last year and sentenced to life in prison on charges of manslaughter and first-degree murder. The details of the case are absolutely frightening. It was in 2017 when people in the house he was living in complained that they were having trouble with their plumbing. That led to a call to check out the pipes, and in those pipes was eventually found pieces of flesh. Police obviously were called in to investigate. That put Adam Strong obviously on the radar in a big way. He was eventually arrested when they discovered that the flesh that was found inside that house were linked to his second victim, a woman who disappeared in 2017, Rory Hashe. Now, in the process of investigating that case, they eventually discovered the DNA of Candace Fitzpatrick. The discovery of her body very recently, police are hoping that is somewhat helpful to an already traumatized family.
We had the victim in the back of our minds, and how difficult would it be for them to have to go through this without actually Candace back, the actual body of Candace back in their hands. And that's something that really motivated us to pursue this investigation, and that's really why, and the ability to provide closure to the family and everybody that was affected through this crime.
Durham Regional Police also insisted that there was no preferential treatment or favors granted to Adam Strong in exchange for the information that he provided to them. At the news conference today, Candace Fitzpatrick's father did not want to talk to the media, but the family of Rory Hashe did speak about how this was an emotional day for both families.
In July of 2022, investigators returned to the home of Adam Strong after some suspicious items were found. A contractor working in the home that had new residents called the police when he uncovered some articles of clothing at what he knew to be the home of a convicted murderer. You know, I just don't know if I could live in a house like that. It's not even so much the murder and the body parts, it's the murderer. I don't want to live somewhere where someone like that has lived. Is that weird? Anyway, I'm assuming these items that the contractor found must have been tucked away, maybe put behind a wall or something. Maybe when they were tearing down walls or ripping up flooring or something, they discovered these things. I couldn't find any follow-up information on this discovery. It's only a few months old. And as we know, testing can take some serious time. If the items turn out to be evidence, I'm glad they found them, even though they don't really make a difference on this case. What if they lead the officers and the investigators to other victims? It could be very important, or it could turn out to be nothing at all. The bottom line is Adam Strong is caught, and that is what matters. I certainly hope that the sentencing judge's words are true. I hope we never see Adam Strong again, and I sincerely hope that he is well on his way to being forgotten. Of course, he will never be forgotten by those who lost their daughters, their sisters, their friends to this unbelievably cruel monster. And on behalf of our community here at Dining with Death, I want to send them our love and let them know that we hope they are healing from these tragic events the best they can. Like I said in the beginning, and I say often, monsters live among us, and Adam Strong, he is truly one of those monsters. Thank you for joining me today on Dining with Death, True Crime Tuesday. You know the drill. Hit the like button if you like the video. Subscribe to the channel if you want to support me. And if you want, you can join my Patreon. You can donate a couple bucks a month if that's what you want to donate. But the end goal is to be able to donate money to police departments that have cold case DNA in storage that can't be tested because there's no funding to test it. The end goal on Patreon is for us to do fundraising there, raise money for that cause. I sure appreciate you being here and spending some of your day with me. Your support means everything to me. Stay safe, my friends, and be kind to each other. And I'll see you next time on Dining with Death. Bye.
Your Honor, we the jury find the defendant Sweet Tango Apples guilty on all counts of being the crispiest, sweetest, zestiest, most delicious tasting apple you can buy.
Order! Order in this courtroom! Bailiff, come back here. Where are you going?
I'm going with them. I want some Sweet Tango Apples too.
You love a great mystery, but not in the produce aisle. Be sure to reach for Sweet Tango, the most delicious tasting apple money can buy. Investigate where you can get yours at SweetTango.com.